welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. As promised last time, today's movie is Dog Eat Dog. We are here to watch Dog Eat Dog, which came out in 2016, which I think came in mainstream audiences last year. I saw this at Fantastic Fest. I was telling you to Mike before we started recording this that this is now the third time I'm seeing this movie. Still have not seen Gone with the Wind or Sound of Music, but Dog Eat Dog, seen it three times.
Oh.
Two things of note in this movie. Number one, Cage's Humphrey Bogart impression. Number two, hot dog fight.
Oh, I totally forgot about both those.
Oh, things. And number three, the Willem Dafoe crazy opening.
Oh, that I didn't forget about. And then the bald guy who ruins the movie.
Terrible.
Directed by Paul Schrader. This is his baby.
So you're watching the Blu-ray today. This is another hopefully short movie, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's like 85 minutes.
83. Oh, boy. Oh. This, we could not ask for more. Set up, we're going to put on the subtitles, and we're going to click play in 3, 2, 1, play.
All right. Dog Eat Dog, a fairly recent Cage film.
The craziest thing about this one, Mike, as we were just saying, is that before both this movie and the last movie, we saw trailers for the movie Rage,
yes,
starring Nicolas Cage.
That's right.
These are both RLJ Entertainment releases.
I think we've already got two production logos.
Yep, you can tally it.
This one isn't exactly anything spectacular. There's three.
Pure Dopamine. That's kind of a cool production name, though. I like that. Dog Eat Dog. I don't know why my brain won't let me type Dog Eat Dog, but every time I try to type Dog Eat Dog, four. Every time I try to type Dog Eat Dog is, I just, five. I type Dog Eat Doug.
Huh.
Brain can't do it.
Doggy Dog? D-O-G-G-Y?
No, Dog Eat Doug.
Got it.
I'm close, I just can't get it right. Man, there are a lot of production studios in this one. Oh, arming teachers.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember this at all.
This is what Willem Dafoe, I think, is watching in his opening. So let's see here. What do I have here? Oh, gift-worthy scene. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to preemptively cross that one.
There's so much pink in this opening.
I don't know why this is so antithetical to the rest of the movie. Like, to what end? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to set up how crazy he is, but this is way more crazier than he ever goes throughout the rest of the movie.
Which is, yeah. The eye tattoo under his chin.
Most people have that on their forehead, their third eye. Just crazy Paul Schrader.
Is this an adaptation of something?
Probably not. I don't think so. One of his dreams, maybe?
Probably.
But this is totally, like, you know, his way. That's why it's so weird.
It's almost like a Tim and Eric sketch. Like, hey,
Elvis.
Viva Pod Vegas. It's almost like a Tim and Eric sketch meets, I don't know, like David Lynch, kind of?
Yeah.
Although Tim and Eric is already sort of David Lynchian.
Right, but they're
a very specific
going for
part
laughs
of it. Yeah. Someone Returns from Another Cage film. Wasn't Willem Dafoe? Yeah, he was Bobby Peru.
Or not several, at least one, yeah. So wait, do I have that?
Are we in Vegas in this movie? Where's this movie set?
I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe, probably New Orleans?
Here, tilt the microphone down a little bit closer to your mouth. Yeah,
there we go.
Let's pick up all those great words that you're saying.
Okay.
I got a lot of Cage-specific things.
Uh-huh.
Nudity. Gonna have that, maybe.
I know we're getting some billiards.
Ooh, I'm going to cross that off.
Oh, so this was the movie that started the box. Women find Cage attractive when they, like, an attractive woman finds Cage irresistible. That started with this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that's been a running theme for all of his movies, though.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think we noticed it. I remember listening to the podcast and pointing out, like, she finds him irresistible. Like, she just can't get enough of him. Like, he is so irresistible. So I think that made us go back and say, hey, that happens a lot.
Jessica Biel.
Now we're in the blue room.
Is drug use one?
I don't think so. But this is also giving me sort of different types of filmmaker vibes.
I'm going to cross off Dramatic Tunnel Shift because there is all sorts of nonsense
happening
in this scene.
That was almost like an Edgar Wright sequence with, like, the quick cutting shooting up.
Yep. I would agree. You are right, sir. just that this is such a weird opening that has like nothing to do with anything other than establish that Willem Dafoe is like insane. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm not even sure if what he ends up doing here actually happened. Is this for real, or is this just like a drug-induced sort of vision?
I don't know.
It's a hell of a mustache.
Solid mustache. One of the PSLF Hoffman Awards, Best Mustache, which I like. That's a lot of their categories that I think, because we sort of refine things over the years, because we've had three or four award shows. We've had Cage, Keanu, and we've had Zack Attack. And so this is maybe the fourth one now. And I think a lot of them, they took sort of the best of what we've used, because they stuff that didn't apply, but then they added the best mustache, which I think is a solid a solid category.
Yeah, because he's... I mean, I think he even has more mustaches than...
Cage?
No, I mean, I think he has more...
Oh, than
is actually nominated for, yeah. Great shirt on her. She loves unicorns. She's got the shirt, she's got the phone protector...
I'm looking for an extreme facial expression. Give me one, Willem Dafoe.
Oh, I thought he had one already.
Oh, you did? Did you cross one off?
Yeah, I crossed it off when he did his drugs.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're going to eat them short ribs. This is awkward, but it's not necessarily sex.
Well, I feel like he's also like 30 years older than this woman. Like, she could be like 25. Like, I don't know how old she actually is, but he's significantly older than she is.
He's insane.
It's just so weird. Like, what kind of bathroom is lit like that? Like, even like in movies or practically, you know what I mean? Like, it's
well, there's an extreme facial expression for 100%. I don't even think that's digitally warped or anything. That's just Willem Dafoe.
Hey guys, no, I got it. I can do this crazy thing with my face.
See, this is what happened when you get Paul Schrader like unchained. You know, I'm not saying. He makes the best, you know, it's not like Dying of the Light was great because the studio interfered or anything, but I'm just saying, like, the guy's nuts, and he wants to make, like, crazy art, kind of, he's not going to make anything that's easy to understand anymore, I feel.
Oh, I see boobs, nudity. Do my spreadsheets for church, I do my taxes. Remember, he's looking at porn on her computer.
I know, but, like, what files move when...
I think that's like
a site. I thought she was just like looking at his files.
It's AsianTeensQuarters.com.
Oh, of course it is. I should have known. I run that site.
You run that site? You run that site from Transformers
2? Transformers 2,
And you run... What was the one that we just did with Jordan? There's a couple different websites that we've looked up with Jordan. I don't know what podcast they've been on, but she always seems to be on these episodes where like...
I'm the webmaster.
No. Yep.
Oh, and he kills her, right?
Yeah. Crazy. If you have a woman as attacked, I mean, this is for sure. I love the, like...
There's almost like a Natural Born Killers thing happening.
I just wish that had anything to do with anything. I also love that, like, little, you know, insert shot of the bobbleheads bobbling.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Would have been great if there was, like, a Nick Cage one. I don't think he ever had a bobblehead. I think Keanu had a Matrix one. Not sure.
I was thinking, what did I want to... Oh, up on my shelf where I have the Elvis movies, I wanted to see if there was a Funko Pop for Elvis, because I feel like that would probably be like a slam dunk, and also it would just sort of fit nicely up there, you know what I mean?
If there isn't, I mean, that's a whole line of Funko Pops, all the different Elvis.
I'm really excited. I also think... I think eventually when we get into Viva Pod Vegas, I might get burnt out, because I feel like they're either gonna, it's either going to be like the best... Or the worst?
Mm.
I don't think it's going to just be okay.
I think what's good about his movies is that they're genre pictures. Like, he does every conceivable type of movie.
Army,
Western, you know. I mean, a lot of them are musicals, but, like, one takes place here, one takes place in Vegas. Like, one where he has a twin brother, one where he's, like, in love with his cousin or something. Like,
oh, Kissing Cousins? What I like about that is that he used the pillow as a silencer, but didn't put the gun up to the pillow. He just shot the pillow.
I think he was trying to silence her.
Oh, maybe. That's just Paul Schrader being, you know, unchained.
Dog.
Eat.
Uh-oh, I'm going to have a real trouble taking a picture of this title screen. Oh, no, there we go. Dog.
I do like the church organ in the background there. That's pretty cool.
Time jump. Do we have a time jump? Square?
No, I wrote it down in the last movie, though, because we jumped a year forward. Now we're black and white. More nudity.
Strip club.
Oh, right. Cage gets out of...
Prison.
Prison.
Right? this is all shot beautifully compared to the last sequence. I wish the whole movie was done in this. But I guess this is Cage's color. Like, he's the black and white character.
Yeah, we've got... Ooh, I love it.
He looks great in this. His name is Troy. Oh, it's very good, fellas.
Castor and Troy?
Ooh.
Castor Troy?
Mad Dog. And then, unfortunately, there was Diesel.
Yeah, if you did you say Cage voiceover? Because that's one, that's a box. I don't have that. But
I don't either.
It's so, like, what are you doing? Flashback.
Prison. Also prison.
Also prison.
Wow, I got a bad card.
Oh.
That's right, he sliced an Aryan guy, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, mama.
It's brutal. This is sort of like Sin City-ish. Not just because of black, not just because of black and white, but just sort of the whole vibe and the sort of lighting and everything, you know what I mean? Like, it's sort of...
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it's very stylized.
Yeah.
It doesn't... It's definitely shot
Diesel
digital.
Is just a guy you know. No. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
You know, it's not like it was shot on black and white film.
This is Diesel's color?
This dude.
Old-timey yellow?
Amber, maybe?
It's the color of his energy.
See, I don't think this is necessarily a great use of voiceover, but it's a great voiceover because it's Cage talking.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, Diesel. Oh, I'm going to cross off dancing because we had the strippers dancing.
Oh, good. Fire. You would think that's the ghost from Pay the
Ghost.
Oh,
Annie.
You know who this, I wish, was played by?
Dean Norris?
Is that the guy from The Wire?
No, oh!
I wish it was the dude, Herc from The Wire.
I was saying Dean Norris, a.k.a. Walt's brother on Breaking Bad.
Oh, that would have been good too, though.
Because I think that sort Herc's of goes against little, type, you know what I mean? Herc
is a little
like,
younger, but yeah, he's played the wild guy a little
Cage
bit.
Cage running.
This is great.
Cage starts running.
Running from his sentence, he grabbed the bailiff's gun.
He attacked the bailiff, grabbed the gun, yeah.
And now he was shot in the leg. See, that's...
This is sort of a connection. This sort of feels like the kind of courtroom that the Devil's Advocate is in. You know what I mean?
Oh,
that is a beautiful,
that, yeah.
Like
that's a very religious stained glass there. Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have religion as a cop? I'm gonna write down religion. Like anything like religious. That'd be a nice thing. I'm going to say accenting an oddly specific word. He did some weirdo things in there.
I like that he said Facebook twice.
We are fucking Facebook friends before there was Facebook.
It's just weird when, I mean, you know, I have a feeling like 10, 15 years are going to look back and Facebook is just going to be like Napster, like, that of a reference.
No, Facebook will still be around. In spite of what's going on right now, Facebook's not going anywhere.
No, I mean, it'll be around, but I just feel like the idea of referencing it, I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Like, although, like, but Napster went away because, like...
Napster went away.
Well, because legal things took its place. Like, yeah, Facebook's already... you know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, yeah, there's still that line.
That would be like, if you reference the Silk Road and then we like legalized all drugs. You know what I mean?
Well, there's that line in Funny People where they write in like MySpace jokes and James Taylor comes up on stage and he says, "Fuck Facebook." And it's like, dude, you're talking about MySpace? So.
Yeah. We sure we're not in Vegas? Where are we?
I don't know. We're still in a strip club. It could be a strip club in Vegas. I'm pretty sure. No, I'm not even sure they're not gambling. Okay, just drinking alcohol. Dad.
That is.
Oh, beautiful.
What is the time of this? Because this is going to be the screenshot for this.
That's almost weathermanish as far as it's like.
13:35.
That French whore I was telling you about? Oh, that's a kick ass sleeve she has.
And a whole, like, Bax hat, too.
I like her, like, kind of Cleopatra hair thing.
I love it. this is going to be, we're about to get an awkward sex scene.
I think she just gives him a lap dance, and this is where she finds him, like, irresistible.
Although, in her defense, she is paid to do this, I think, so.
But she's not paid to, like, make out with him.
You sure this isn't an awkward sex scene?
Look, she's you're actually fucking hot. Like, I would give you a free lap dance. I mean, I guess if she takes it out, it's turning into an awkward sex scene.
See, this is the kind of scene that I feel weird about, you know, opening onto the street.
And Kate's just, like, negotiating the price of touching her breasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that old adage. Money and friends. Hard to tell.
Quite a bit. I'm, in spite of what you're saying, I'm going to cross off awkward sex scene, because she was negotiating.
And I'm crossing it off. Maybe they, yeah, all right. I just, she's got a great
because he pulled the
booty.
Money out. It's sort of quadruple space a little bit, but, you know. It's a thing.
I mean, I think I'm going to win. I'm close.
How many do you have? I already have.
Well, look, like,
I already have 10 things crossed off.
I only need a freak out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
If we have a helicopter, I win.
Oh. Yeah, we're back into that amber color, the yellow.
Oh, but this is the Paul Schrader character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Marble Mouth himself. I mean, dude, I could barely understand him when...
God, like, 80% of this movie is voiceover so far.
If you watch, like, Taxi Driver, which Schrader actually wrote too, that whole movie is voiceover. It's just Travis talking to himself and stuff. So, like, he actually knows, I feel like he knows what he's doing when it comes to that, but there's other things going on with this that are ruining this movie.
You know, as objectifying as the shot is, I think it's nicely composed.
I just don't... If you're Paul Schrader...
Yeah.
And you know that you have a hard time being understood because you have this gravelly voice and you're an old man, wouldn't you cast someone who could talk well?
Or put yourself in a position that's not plot dump.
Like, that too. I mean, if you really need to be in the movie, find another role. Write yourself a different role. You are the writer of this movie, mister.
And the director.
Yeah.
Like, he comes off, he's like, do we get it? Like, yeah, we got it, Paul. And they get back to the editing room, and he's just like, oh, perfect, we got it. What's weird about this scene is, like, the way that the shot is composed. Like, there's just so much weird negative space behind their heads.
Yes.
Like, for what? Like,
just for the sake, I feel like...
Just the art scene?
To be art, yeah. I feel like that's who Schrader is. Like, he's... Ah, that's how a movie shot. I don't want to shoot my movie the way a movie shot. Like, we had to find something different.
Like, I do like that. Like, that looks cool, just because it's Cage. You know
what because
I mean?
Sometimes just, like,
because
it works.
Also the black background as opposed to, like, the lamps or whatever behind Paul Schrader's head.
Sometimes, like, shooting your film off balance really works. And it's like, if you shoot your entire film that way. But he's, you know, this is the third aesthetic choice we've switched to since watching this. We've had the hypercolor, pink and blue. We had the black and white Sin City. And now we've got whatever this is supposed to be, the off-centered, off-kiltered.
I do want to say that Cage just said bro.
He's saying lots of the right things in
no,
this movie.
You're right. Like, this was, it also sort of seems like the there was the diesel stuff, which is... Oh, this is in Ohio, remember? This is in Ohio.
Oh, cripe.
Yes, because there's the... Remember they had the cop car with, like, the painted on that's, like, all, like, askew? Right here?
There it is. Because they had to do that to...
That's the coolest. I love that.
Put the decals on. The sad thing is, like, that's all you need to do. You know, like, that's passable.
Cleveland police. Like, they have, like what appear to be, like, legitimate police uniforms, so they just couldn't get the car, I guess?
I suppose, yeah. I didn't expect them to have any resources, but...
Well, I feel like if they're backed by Paul Schrader, you know what I mean? Like, he paid them $5,000 or whatever. So, who knows? So cold,
dude.
It'll end global warming.
Oh, topical. Look at this guy. He needs two cars. Yeah, it'll end global warming, but will it end a second civil war? And... the bandwidth wars that follow, and everything else.
What's the war in Resident Evil? There is a war. Is it just...
No, it's just the zombie apocalypse. Zombies? Yeah. It's not even a war. Like, it's a... they're easily overrun.
What I love about this is that they probably didn't shut down this road, so there's just, like, a cop car on the side of the road that just had police, like, taped all askew like that. You would also think that, like, they could... I mean, it's a great visual gag for this, but you could also just think that they could be, like, an unmarked undercover car.
Yeah.
As long as they're in the uniforms.
This is where a lot of shit goes down. This is when they try and do their, like, their heist or something on them. That guy talking... it's killing me. I'm going to have to, like, look him up or something, because...
He looks like a comedic actor, though.
Yeah. He's like... I think I know him from something. Moon Man, right? Omar J. Dorsey. Oh, was it Road Trip that I know from the Fraternity? Starsky and Hutch, Drumline. Thank you for your service.
Californication?
No. He's in a lot of stuff. Nothing I really watch. He's done a lot of stuff. Eastbound and Down? Do I know him from that, maybe?
No, he's not the chef in Vice Principals, is he?
No, it doesn't. He doesn't say Vice Principals.
Because I was just thinking that if he was in Eastbound and Down, he might have come back for Vice Principals.
Well, I don't know. I think he's a good actor. He's charismatic. Who wasn't on an episode of Entourage? Oh, yeah.
Zac Efron even was. We covered that terrible episode for Zac Attack. Go listen to Zac Attack.
I will, because I want to know what happened on that episode. What was Vince Turtle and the boys up to, and E?
E was having a fight with Sloan.
Oh, Sloan.
The episode was called Security Briefs.
Oh, God.
Turtle, I think, slept with a college girl, and then needed to, like, the night before, and then needed to, like... steal her panties for some reason, or get her panties.
Typical Vinny Chase crew
and
antics.
Vinny was in trouble with someone or something, and there was, like, I think Peter Stormare might have been at the house. Like, they had, like, some, like, sort of, like, hired goons or hired thugs, like, at their house, like, sort of, like, babysitting him. It was weird.
So this is very topical, too, you know, just white cops just, like, pulling black guys out of their car for no fucking reason in America.
Getting political on this Cage Liver Visited.
I don't know if you've been aware, but it's a total witch hunt out there, Joey.
That's the third time you've said that in the Cage Liver Visited today.
It's my phrase of the day.
Mm.
Well, it all started with the witch that got burned in Pay the Ghost. So.
I get it. There's reason for it. To be certain. You know, I love that do the Cage Liver Visiteds, but... it does make me think, like, I should probably just be watching the Maltese Falcon instead of watching...
Well, you know, we could give it a rest or put it on hold for a while so you could catch... I have a bunch of classics I need to catch up
with. No, I mean, it's fine. We meet up once a month, we do three of these, and we're good for another month and a half. Like, it's fine.
I've never seen Gandhi, you know? I could do that one weekend.
I think I watched Gandhi for a class, I think. I don't remember anything about it, though. In high school.
Oh, did you just sneeze that blood, Moon Man?
I think he got him in the mouth. I think he's spitting it out. You got blood on my Gianni Versace?
That's a Versace shirt?
Where's Andrew Cannano when you need him? Or maybe it's Donatella Versace.
I don't know. I was just going to say Steve Madden, then I remembered those are girl shoes.
Wolf of Wall Street rearing its head again.
Yeah, watched it last night. I put that in, did not remember it was 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, it was like, strong.
Checked it like a half hour in. I was like, how much was it? I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to be, better get comfy. But I watched the whole damn thing in one sit.
No pausing?
Well, I would pause to go to the bathroom, you know, but like, no, I didn't pause and like go out and do stuff. I sat through it.
I've been meaning to rewatch Inland Empire, but that's another 3 hour one that I need to like actually, you know, sort of sit down and. Yeah.
I've got to watch that for the first time. All I want to do is watch Laura Dern for 3 hours, but I just need to find that day where I could do it.
Yeah. After I saw A Quiet Place, I was trying to think of, like, if we could do, like, an Emily Blunt podcast. The only name I can think of is Blunt Talk, which is that
star show
with, what's his name, with
Patrick Stewart, right?
Yeah. Picard. And I think because the Blunt Talk is about, like, him being, like, you know, a political commentator, but I think it's also, like, there's, like, a weed tint to it, too, and, like...
Oh, he smokes blunts?
I don't remember. I've never seen it. I just remember reading an interview about it beforehand, or he was on Martin Aaron's podcast or something.
Imagine Patrick Stewart in real life getting all high.
Probably.
He's such a happy person. Or at least he appears to be. Whoop.
Things are not going... Oh, dog.
Yeah, because he's mad dog.
Yeah, but is dog going to eat a dog?
Is it what?
Dog eat dog? Dog
oh, yeah, oh, dog? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I just don't... I love how casual... This dude's name is Moon Man.
Yeah.
And they're down. They're like, all right, like, his name's Moon Man, my name is Mad Dog, like...
Diesel, Troy.
And Mad Dog.
Moon Man, Mad Dog.
This is going very... This is like... This this reminds me of True Detective Season 1. What was that? Episode 5? Where they break into the drug house? But
oh,
this
season,
is like...
I think it was Episode 6. I think 6 both okay. seasons. You talk about the 9-minute shot. Right?
Yeah. But this is that just horribly wrong. Like, just no value to it whatsoever. But it's the same concept. They think they're trying to rob a safe house here. Now they're shooting into the house?
Mad Dog. There is...
Whoa. What was that? He just Uzi'd the dude running by?
No, he up in the air.
I wasn't sure if it was blanks or... Where do you get an Uzi?
There is like a... Like, I mean, it's not great, but there is like a sort of a sense of tension here. You know, like, it wasn't a terrible scene.
Yeah.
That's definitely unlike just about anything in any other Cage movie. Like, it's, you know...
Here we go. They're celebrating.
I do like that whenever Cage and Willem Dafoe team up, they're always robbing somebody.
Oh, yeah.
$300 to get us bras.
Oh,
cool.
He is definitely accentuating... Certain oh man, here we go, Paul Schrader.
Is this the hot dog scene, or is that later?
I don't even remember the hot dog scene.
Remember where they're like spraying each other ketchup and mustard?
Oh yeah.
Human hot dogs. We were already referencing hot dogs.
Well, right?
Yeah, because this was like we did this after Keanu.
There it is. Oh, he just flicked off his hot dog penis.
So much cocaine.
This entire scene takes place over 5 minutes.
I do like that the subtitles are like. In parentheses, talking nonsense. Just like, we know that there's nothing like of note or consequence going on.
So, apparently, Dog Eat Dog and Pay the Ghost are on the same label, or same distributor.
RLJ Entertainment.
They are kicking ass with subtitles. Oh, we're in a casino. Gambling? Cage gambles? Gambling. But I gotta give it to this company for their Blu-ray releases, because their subtitles are, you know... Perfect.
Just so we know, if we get singing, I win.
Oh, wow. Oh, wait. Cage freaked out. Isn't that a freak out that we just saw in the hotel room? I technically win.
For sure. We're going to mark that off at... You can mark that down at, like, say, 27 minutes.
Okay. Sorry. That was me not paying...
This girl is way too cute to be talking to Diesel.
Maybe she's a prostitute. Trying to get...
Dressed like that?
Good call. In a sweater? What if it was... What was her name from Waking Up in Reno? The prostitute was that...
Penelope Cruz?
Penelope Cruz.
You mean my favorite movie? You know, there's a chance that ends up as a top 10 Charlize movie for me. Like, it's top 5 through half. I mean, of course in the top 10, like, above that is going to be Mad Max and Atomic Blonde.
Real good movies, yeah.
Maybe...
Well, it's funny. I was looking at the list. I was like, damn it, Prometheus is probably going to crack my top 10 of
I just don't know. On a recent episode... Oh, it was on the Aliens episode of The Contenders. Go check out The Contenders.
Oh,
they were talking about... They were shitting on Prometheus. I was like, come on, guys. Like,
yeah, it does. It's not great, but it doesn't deserve to be shit on. It's no Alien Covenant,
Although I do love my girl Amy Simetz wearing space sandals. She's like on that plane, or on that, like, you know... It's strange. What I was saying to Tobin, I don't think he responded, was Aislinn's name is basically aliens. I don't know how she doesn't like aliens. Like, Aislinn and aliens are basically the same word.
I just kept thinking of Aislinn, Tobin, if their other brothers and sisters ended in inn as well. With their
Marvin.
Name. Marvin.
Is this Nikki Whelan? From Inconceivable?
No. Is it?
I think so.
That is a great necklace. It just says happy in diamonds.
I'm pretty sure this is Nikki Whelan.
That would be pretty crazy because it would be a returning, it would be a co-star.
I'm looking it up. Dog eat dog. Nikki Whelan, Denise.
Crazy. They've worked before. That's wild.
What have I seen her in? Oh, and she was also in Left Behind, too. That's a trifecta.
Wait, does she play his daughter in that?
In what?
Or is she a stewardess?
Well, she's the stewardess he's having an affair with.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God. I almost thought that she played his daughter.
Oh, she's also in Tragedy Girls, which I really like. But, yeah, she's in 3 Cage movies. I've seen her in 4 movies. 3 Cage movies and Tragedy Girls. I'm going to see her in Knight of Cups and watch that sort of soon. Sometime the next year, maybe. Terrence Malick movie. Like, this is what we expected to have. Ugh. Ugh.
Whoa. Just, she's got her whole hand in his mouth? Oh, my God, Nikki. That was insane.
I am all in on the Nikki Whelan Cage trifecta. There's an
yeah, that's
outside,
a nice little
there's
trilogy.
An outside chance I get this movie 5 stars on Letterboxd, depending on how
5?
I feel. Well, it's like, it's either like...
Right now, I'm giving it better. I mean, I give it at least 2.5 just because of, like, its craziness. Like... It's a, you know, it's like a one-of-a-kind Cage film. I would understand, though, if you gave it 5 stars. I totally would.
You really have to watch it a third time.
Yeah, I guess you're
before
right.
Before you really get
maybe,
what it's going for.
Maybe I'll rewatch it tonight.
Where did Nikki Whelan come from? Is she just like an actress, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think just like everyone else.
I mean, she must get along with Cage if she signed up with 3 movies.
Doing
with him,
3
I mean?
Cage films, yeah.
That's a terrible tattoo, but it's a funny tattoo of the...
The devil one?
The devil, like, banging
the
devil
list.
Lady.
But then his cross looks like it was markered on. Like, these are not...
Oh, they're terrible tattoos. But I also feel like that might be, like, an intentional choice, you know what I mean? Like a... Hey, look, he doesn't care about his body or whatever. Willem Dafoe not happy in his little red tidy whities. Tidy reddies. I mean, that's what happens. You get, like, you pay $300 for, you know, women. Whatever.
Oh, I forgot. We're seeing, like, each of their nights.
Yeah, there's no way that this girl's a prostitute.
But then what the hell is she doing with this guy?
Like, he just picked her up at the bar. Like, he's so charming.
Yeah. I'm not buying it.
She's wearing a flower dress and a sweater.
Yeah, help yourself to the minibar. There's something up with her, right?
Well, she's a junkie. I think she wants, like, a nice night, and it doesn't...
She wants a nice night, and she goes out with that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not, a safe-looking person.
No. No prostitutes also play Elliot Smith. I think I might have said this on the episode, but I went as... I think I definitely did, because Jordan's on this episode, that I went as Elliot Smith for Halloween one year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and you wore, like, a note and had a...
No, no note. It was just I took red paint and I splashed it on my shirt.
That's it, yeah, and you're stabbing yourself.
Yeah. Pretty solid costume. It only cost me, like, $6. Very niche idea. This is sort of very specific music commentary in a movie that does not deserve it or need it or really ask for it.
I also feel like I was following music in 93, 94 from Seattle. I was into Alice in Chains and Soundgarden. There was like Temple of the Dog. There were people doing acoustic back then, girl. It wasn't all just you know, distortion grunge. Even Nirvana did their acoustic set for MTV.
Unplugged?
Yeah, Unplugged.
Did I tell you that I went to when Florence the Machine did it Unplugged? It was on my birthday in New York, and I won tickets to it, and we did not know. I went with my sister. We did not know until we watched it on TV that in the front row, we were in the fourth row, front row Kanye West.
Oh, cool.
I was like, from here to my TV was me to Kanye West. No idea he was in the room.
Nice, nice. I saw Fiona Apple once in like one of those, like they were recording her. A friend of my sister's friend had a ticket. He's like, "Hey, want to go see Fiona Apple?" I was like, "Fuck yeah!" And it was like a room, like we went into like a big building and then like into a small room, and then it was like set up with like seats, and it was really weird. It was almost like it was a recording studio or something. Huh. That was like 15 years ago. That was like 2000 or something, 98, 99.
Very interesting.
I saw Nirvana at Roseland. During the In Utero tour.
Wow.
I saw Green Day open for Bad Religion.
How old were you? Like 14?
Yeah. Saw a lot of shit back to Primus. I was a huge Primus fan up until like 1999. Like I saw them like 3 times back then.
Diesel not having the night that he thought he was going to have.
Yeah, this girl either. Is she like, you seem like such a nice guy, Diesel.
Hey, my name's Diesel, but I'm a nice guy. Bachelor number 3.
Yeah,
I would love to see. Why didn't they do that? Like a cut, like because this movie doesn't make sense. Why didn't they do like a dating game with the three of them?
Yeah. See, what I don't like, what I like about this movie is when it gets crazy and goes crazy. What I don't like is when
this?
It's this, when it's trying to settle down into something serious and
to
be
what
taken
end?
Exactly. It's not making the wacky stuff even wackier for me. Like, that's just going to be wacky no matter what. This is just boring, and they've walked into a red light. Things are, you know, it's just so pretentious sometimes.
It is difficult. Wait, so did Paul Schrader, he directed another Cage movie?
Yeah, Dying of the Light.
No. I can think of another one coming out, or no?
Oh, I don't know. No, he just interviewed him.
Okay.
Cage interviewed Schrader about just work. Because, Schrader made another movie about a priest or something. Was that with Ed Norton, maybe?
I'm not sure.
But he's got a new film coming out he wrote and directed. Because, you know, after this, it's blank checks all the way, baby.
Like the movie Blank Check?
Well, the podcast Blank Check, which is really good. Check that out. I'm not on it. I just listen to it. It's not on our network either. It's just a podcast out there called Blank Check where they go over, like, they say, oh, Steven Spielberg, like, he got a blank check, so, like, let's go over all of these movies of his. Hungover Cage is great.
Well, Cage drinks alcohol. Do we have that?
Uh-huh. And he's drinking a, what is that, Bloody Mary?
He's drinking a Bloody Mary. Which is it was referenced earlier when the stripper was like, I need a Red Bull Bloody. He's like, why don't you just get, like, he's like, that sounds disgusting. Why don't you just get a regular Bloody Mary and then fall asleep on me, pass out on me if you need to. I'm used to it.
I like his paisley shirt. There's something about Defoe's look in this I buy. I don't know, I almost feel like maybe it's part of his own style or something. He just seems really comfortable in this role.
It's just a shame that Diesel's in it.
I know, because Diesel sticks out like a sore, dumb-ass, bald guy.
What else has this guy been in?
You know what it is, too? I bet he's perfectly fine. It's just that he's with Cage and Defoe. And the two of them just have
Christopher Matthew Cook.
An unspoken thing.
He's in Escape Plan.
Oh, I saw that. That's the Schwarzenegger and Stallone movie?
Yeah. He's in Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
Wait, isn't Escape Plan, like, what was that? Wasn't that referenced a lot?
It's referencing something.
A lot. Like, was that, no, I want to say Mosaic, but that can't be right. There's something where it was like,
no,
oh,
I think
that's,
it was Mosaic.
Yeah, that's from Escape Plan. Yeah, that's right. That and Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah.
Every time I see that.
And then Christopher Matthew Cook is also in Mr. Right, that Sam Rockwell dances his way through a gunfight.
Okay.
And he's also in Two Guns, which I did not see, the Denzel Mark Wahlberg movie.
Oh, I saw that. I don't remember him in that. That movie's confusing. I don't know what happens in that movie.
that's what you call your action movie. Well, that's confusing.
No, I couldn't tell, like, really. What is going on in this thing? Oh, here we go.
We're setting up the Humphrey Bogart for 40 minutes from now when he's going to be Humphrey Bogart. I wonder how much of this was written, and I wonder how much of this is Cage just, like,
well, he
talking.
Goes, he just says, there was a movie producer, and I says to him, I says.
A stretched out version of Humphrey Bogart. What I love is that, like, just, we don't know who he's talking to, and we just cut to a guy that we've never seen before, that they're just waiting for Diesel and Mad Dog.
And his line is, this is a fantastic story. Why does Paul Schrader's character like to eat dinner in a bank vault?
This is pretty cool.
Dang, ain't that the truth? Oh, there we go.
With the little nose flares? Like, I don't know why...
It's a bogey thing, but it's not, is it?
I don't know. And I don't care. All I know is that I love it.
It's more of an Edward G. Robinson thing. Like, I feel like he's got them confused. I think... Because Bogey is kind of like this. But Edward G. Robinson's like this, Shane.
You think Cage is a little confused or the character is a little confused?
Both. Well, I don't think Cage does. Either the character or Paul Schrader is confused.
Okay. Chepe.
Okay, so guys, I know you can't hear it, but here's my impression of Paul Schrader since you can't hear
him. I feel like that's too loud, though. Like, it has to be like half that volume. It's about right. It's
basically closer. Sounds like the Annie the Ghost trying to get paid. Whispering at you.
You know, if we keep doing these terrible new... Not terrible, but like these less than good new Cage movies, eventually we're going to get to a point in this podcast and then revisit it where it's like only good movies left.
I mean, I don't want to say I was trying to knock out a couple of these early so we would only have good ones at some point, but...
Oh, no, I think it's definitely a conscious decision on our part.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we've already burned through my favorite one. We did Wild at Heart already, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other... We've done...
We did Adaptation. Which
we did Adaptation.
Time
we did Moonstruck.
Favorite.
We did It Could Happen to You. He's also in a ton of great movies. Man, I love Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Part of me wants you to get the VR Humanity Bureau copy so we could play it in VR or whatever.
But we had, like, you would need to, like, watch me watching it, and I would need to watch you watch, because we can't... You know what I mean? Like, we'd have two headsets or something. I don't know.
So that's something really weird about VR for me, is there are programs that are literally, you sit in a virtual movie theater and watch a movie on a screen.
Yeah.
I don't see the VR value in that, you know? Like, that isn't... What's cool is when, like, the movie wraps around your eyes like panorama.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. And I think that's what Humanity Bureau was released as, sort of like a 360 experience, so you could, like, turn your head and see the car coming down the street.
Yeah.
But then there are, I don't know if you've seen, there are just like, go sit in a movie theater in the dark with your headset on and watch the movie on the screen with less, like, you know, just watch it with the glasses off.
Yeah. This sad strip club during the day reminds me that when I was in Colorado, I went to Coyote Ugly. I don't know if it's the original one.
Huh.
But I went there at, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was, like, all the lights were on, and there was nobody there.
Aww.
And I was like, this is sad.
Remember one year I was in Vegas, I had heard of this, like, very famous strip club. I can't remember the name of it. Purple Elephant or something? It was super famous, and, yeah, it definitely lived up to its hype. Like, I walked in there, it was like walking into a movie. It was just, like craziness, like, everywhere. It was my brother's, that was his, when he was going to get married, we went to Vegas. It was his bachelor party.
Wait, can I cross off Las Vegas because it's in your story?
If you need to. But that was, like, the one time where I remember actually going to some place and being like, this is, like, better than advertised. Like, they're not kidding. Like, this place is legit. And I think that was actually the last time I'd ever been to a strip club. It was years and years ago.
I only went to one, and it was very sad.
We used to go in high school by the, in the Meadowlands, they had a couple, I can't even remember the names of them anymore, but I mean, I grew up down the highway from Satin Dolls, which was the Bada Bing, you know, which isn't a strip club, but it's like a go-go bar and stuff, but there's a whole bunch in, like, the Meadowlands area, I mean, especially when we were in high school, we used to just, like, as soon as we turned 18 or 17 or whatever, like, that's something cool to do. the value wears off extremely quickly.
Oh yeah. I like this. I like the look of this. Like, what's weird about a lot of these movies, like Pay the Ghost and this, like when you're not listening, it's better.
Yes. Yeah. It's visually this
billiards
one.
Are bowling.
Oh, billiards. Yeah. This movie really does look really great. I think. Like, honestly, even though it's got multiple personality disorder, as far as like what it wants to look like, every time it shifts to something different, it's nice to watch. So Diesel just standing there with a... He looks so unnatural.
Like, I appreciate, like, because he... I appreciate, like, his sort of elevation to, like, you know, he's able to get into a leading role, but, like, he should just sort of embrace, like, the character, like, the muscle.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, there's, like, a... You can do, like, a side story, but not, like, as, like, part of the main... Watching him move, it's just...
I almost feel like his character is too smart or too cool or slick. Like, he should be injured or dumb or... That's a great shot of the two of them, though. They look great together.
Wait, so what else was Willem Dafoe in? He was in Wild at Heart. What else? With Cage?
With Cage? I thought that was it.
Might be it.
Bobby Peru. I think we made a huge deal at the time of them finally working together again.
Willem Dafoe's been in 121 things. Things we've covered. John Wick.
Spider-Man's.
Wild at Heart.
He went toe-to-toe with Toby.
We're going to do Lars von Trier eventually, so we'll do Antichrist. Oh, with Nymphomaniac.
Antichrist.
He's in The Most Wanted Man.
I turned off, like... I'm not going to be able to turn it off next time I watch it, but I remember watching that movie going like, nope, I'm good.
Oh, he's also in Odd Thomas, which we saw a trailer for either this one or the last one.
Yeah, I think that was
the last movie, so that's another RLJ Entertainment release.
How odd. They do a lot of staking out in this movie.
If we did
red
a
car,
Dafoe podcast...
Is that a sports car? But it's a red car.
Dafoe is the man. Demand Defoe, the legend.
Phoning it in. That's an interesting accent.
This is weird. Like, I like that. Like, they're following the same conversation. He's having like in all different backgrounds. But why?
I hate when movies do that. Like, there's a very glaring
Cage driving.
There's a sequence like that in Episode 2, the Star Wars movie, where Amidala's talking to Anakin, and she's telling this story, but as she's talking, they're going past, like, four different locations, and she couldn't, you know, she'd have to, like, stop talking and then resumed what she was talking about when they got to this new location.
Yeah.
Like, they're covering so much ground over the course of this, like, small conversation.
And movies can do that well, like, if you're having the same conversation with, like, four or five different people. Like, I get that, but when you're on one conversation with one person, it doesn't really work.
No. It bugged the hell out of me.
Speaking of Attack of the Clones, go check out the 4-episode arc of Real Bad, where they covered the 3 prequels and then did a sort of a bonus episode on Star Wars and canon. So go do that thing. I wonder what the next Real Bad movie is going to be.
Oh, it's Catwoman.
Officially?
Oh, well, I don't know about by the time this... Commentary comes out. That's going to be hard to say.
Let's see here. Real Bad Final Exports. I like the sound of this music. I haven't been on Twitter as much lately, so I don't know. Were they tweeting about that, Catwoman?
They were going to do something. I mean, he got. They were gonna. What was the movie they were? Nah, I don't know. It's hard to tell if I've got it straight because sometimes my timeline appears out of order. Twitter likes to do that.
Right. Yeah, they have not uploaded the final version yet. So, but go check out Real Bad. It's one of the newer podcasts on our network. This podcast comes out May 24th, I think. So. We'll have a bunch of reels bad between now and then, as we're recording this at the time that this comes out.
Cage in the house with the gun. I'm not clear on what are they What are they doing here again?
I'm not clear on what anybody's doing at any point in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of a... it's just a thing. Ooh, lullaby. Yep. Nice little subtitle.
Oh, they rob a baby or something?
Is this a Raising Arizona return?
I think it is.
Oh, it's Nathan Jr. He still doesn't grow up from 1991.
Well, this is Nathan Jr.'s kid. This is Nathan Jr. Jr.
Nathan III?
He's Nathan III.
The Arizona Quince.
I've been waiting for you, fucker.
Oh, right. And doesn't, like, the babysitter dies? Lots of bad things happen in the scene.
Oh. Total
bad dog.
Scanners his head.
I do, in a way, appreciate that, like, in so many movies, you have, like, a guy who's, like, talking while holding a gun on somebody. That guy comes in and just like, you guys are fucked, or whatever, and Willem Dafoe just turns around and blows his head off. Like, it's sort of the opposite end of the spectrum, where it's, like, a little bit too quick, but it's also like, okay, that's a nice change of pace, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, I wish this was the plan. I think this is what we got to on the podcast, too, is, like, the plan should have been steal the baby... and then have that at the half-hour mark, and then do all the drug-fueled crazy shit with the baby.
Like three men and a baby.
Yeah, three crazy men and a baby. Go to the strip club, go to wherever, go gambling, just have the baby there the whole time. It'd be like baby's day out.
We still haven't gotten to the hot dogs. I don't think we got to the ketchup and mustard spring. I think that's going to come still. I think there's another drug-fueled party scene, maybe, unless I missed it, but I don't think I missed it. How do you act across on cage and not, like, kill it? You know what I mean? Like,
well, just imagine if he wasn't acting across from cage. Just...
oh. I know. Gross. Like, I like the subtle... like, I like that there's a reason to the red lights there. Like, it's the taillights. You know what I mean? Like, I like I like when there's a reason for the moodiness, the little, you know, gel over the lens or whatever. It's just that when there's just, it's just whatever, it just doesn't, it's like, to what end? Like, what,
right, when you open up the door and the bathroom is just blue without the light on for no reason, or, I mean, you know, I feel like if you watch Suspiria, right, like, that is a movie.
I was actually just thinking Suspiria.
It's like a, you know, a masterclass in color theory. This feels like Paul Schrader read a couple books about color theory and was like, I want this to be all pink now. I don't want this to be black and white. Blah, 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 blah.
Basically.
You know? Like, it just feels like it's willy-nilly instead of actual purpose.
Every time I hear willy-nilly, I think of Review, and I think of AJ, his assistant, like, thinking willy-nilly is somebody's name, and she starts calling him Mr. Nilly, like this.
We all are aching. Oh, no.
No, it's...
They're all is aching.
Yeah, the real Lisa Ching.
They're all is aching.
They're all is aching.
Want some more pancakes?
If you haven't watched Review, there's probably only like 21 episodes. Like, it's probably like 10 and then 8 and then 3. So go check out Review. Review is like a top 10 comedy from the last like 10 years. I like that he just calls a woman man. Just like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Gender equality or something. The plan is very convoluted.
And it's like their third plan. Like Mr. Moon, they ripped off Mr. Moon... or Moon Man.
Yeah, that was the first plan. This is the second one. Or is there something in the middle?
Oh, I feel like there was a middle plan.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, maybe the middle plan was just to get hookers and spend money. They really should learn to invest.
their middle plan was just fuck bitches, get money. So we got Mr. Moon, we got fuck bitches, get money, and now we got the steal the baby plan.
Steal the baby plan.
This is also the problem of doing three bad movies in a row. We're only on number two. So we got half an hour of this left, and we still got a whole other season of The Witch next.
Well, possibly, yeah. I mean, it's next in order.
No, but I mean, like, I think I could still do another one. It's just because the upside of Season of the Witch is that it's not the movie that I was thinking. Remember, I thought it was In the Name of the King of Dungeon Siege Tale?
This movie's terrible.
But it's not that bad. It's just bad. It's just regular bad. And actually not as bad. You know what's also weird? Jordan was on episode two.
Oh, weird.
So we were on, this is two Jordans in a row.
Huh.
I mean, she's probably on a bunch of Caves Clubs. So it's not super weird, but it's, you know, shout out Jordan. Jordan, if you're listening, she's not listening. If you're listening, if anybody's listening, email us mailbag@cageclub.me. Send us your address. I can send you a couple of Cage Club stickers. That's us doing it for you.
Yeah, and that's just for you if you listen to these, because we haven't made that offer on any other podcast. No. So
I still don't know who's listening to these, so just let me know. We don't get a lot of email to the mailbag email, but we do get... there's been a couple different things that, like, actually have come through of sort of significance. Like, one thing was troubleshooting, like, there was, like, a broken RSS feed that I sort of was alerted to there, and, like, people are using it for, like, real reasons. that's where we got the fan art request, yeah. I've got to find a place in my house to hang that up. I gotta get a frame and I gotta hang it up. So that whole wall over there is just, like, rock, and I can't, like... I can't screw into that. Maybe I can nail into that. I don't know.
Rock wall, eh?
It's a rock lobster. Oh, this is where things go bad too. This is like they kill the lady cop at the supermarket. Remember?
Yeah, I don't know why at this point in the movie I've decided to try and pay attention to the subtitles, like, very closely to figure out...
I feel like we can very clearly tell when you pay attention to subtitles because you just stop talking. Like, you start, like, reading the movie. I feel like it's probably at this point because, like, the movie got too complicated and you're trying to figure out what's going
on. Yeah,
like,
I'm so lost.
Places?
That's amazing! Yeah, get out of here.
That's sort of the reverse of the trust. Remember where he, like, walks across, he's just like, hey, stop. Here, like, the guy's not listening to him. Why is he driving a Jaguar?
Red sports car. Dude, Paul Schrader, you sound like you have throat cancer and you're talking through one of those boxes. Like, why did you need to be in this movie?
Oh, there's also a chance. I do want to say to this, dear listener. There's a chance we release these out of order as we record them, because if that thing does come through, and I don't want to say what it is, the thing we're scheduling... I feel like we'll probably have to time that with the release of the other thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it'll be like, oh, hey, you can check this out on X, Y, and Z dates. You know what I mean?
Good idea.
So there's a chance that things are all askew and none of this has really made sense, but... Hey, man.
It's all good. Hopefully you've seen this movie before, so now, you know, you've got something else to listen to.
Do you really say that? Like, hopefully people have seen Doggy Talk before?
Well, I just think when it comes to commentaries, I feel like no matter what the movie is, you should probably have watched it by itself first.
Again, when you request Cage Club stickers, if you want Cage Club stickers, let us know how you're actually, you know, watching this. Like, are you watching it for the first time? Are you not watching the movie and just listening? Like, what are you doing? I only know one person who has told me that they listened to this, and this is former Monkey Club co-host Christian Larson, watched or listened to our Seeking Justice commentary. I don't remember if he was watching the movie or not, but like...
Because he was on that episode.
He was, and he was just like, why do you guys like this movie? Hey, man.
Hungry Rabbit Jumps, that's why.
Because it's great.
Bald Guy Pierce, January Jones brushing her teeth, you know. Plenty of stuff to like.
Cage faking his way as a journalist.
Yes. Breaking up a fight in school.
Yeah. That's where we have the, you know, you need five people for conspiracy. It's because of that movie that we reference that so often. You know?
Even though it started with Snake Eyes.
Oh, right. I forgot. I associate it with that movie. I don't associate it with Snake
Eyes. I know. Well, that's what I like. I think I do, too, at this point. The outside of that club looks like the first scene of the movie, like the way it's all neon.
Yeah.
We're in a, is this a third strip club, or is this the same one, just not shot in black and white?
Well, so there was the black and white one from the beginning. There was the sad one that was closed, which I feel like was a different one, because I felt like a downstairs strip club. Unless that's like a different stage in this strip club. And then here's this one. It's unclear. Now we're walking through the beginning of the movie again with the red and blue lights and pink lights and everything. Now we're in a blue room. You know, I am really excited for Cinemakers. Go check out Cinemakers. It's not currently active as you're listening to this, because we finished the Soderbergh episodes, and we're waiting. We're going to sort of alternate main podcasts, like actor podcasts, with Cinemakers. So after we finish Charlie's, we'll go back for another Cinemakers. But I'm really looking forward to, I don't know why. I know why, because I like their movies. But, like, David Fincher I'm looking forward to a lot. Yeah. I'm also really looking forward to David Lynch. Just David's.
You should just have the David cast.
David cast.
I'm looking forward to just like talking about and dissecting the Lynch stuff, and then the Fincher stuff I'm just really looking forward to watching again. Like I think I've seen all of his work. I just haven't had a lot of time to revisit it.
I just watched four of his this year, because we did it for the film club that Joe 2 and I run. We did like lesser. I haven't seen Alien 3.
Oh, all right. Well, you can check out that episode in a month on Third Times of Charm. Or it might be out by the time this is out.
No, it's June 3rd. So May 3rd is Rocky.
Okay, May 3rd is Rocky. June 3rd is Alien.
So that comes out like next week as you're listening
to this. And then July is Jurassic Park. And then August is Godfather.
And then are you extending season one, or is it going to be like...
I'm extending season one.
All right.
By three episodes.
To be a three cubed? Or three squared?
Yeah, well, I was going to just do one extra episode, and I was like, well, I can't do that. I got to, you know, whatever I do has got to be into multiples of three.
What was funny was when we were on the P.S. I Love Hoffman episode, their Act 3 recap.
Yeah.
And you were saying, you know, next month on the 3rd, we're doing Rocky 3 with three guests, and Brian's like, there's a lot of threes. I'm like, yeah, but that's the point.
Yeah,
that's the whole
Brian.
Like, that's a lot of threes. I'm like, yeah.
Why
like,
are you surprised?
It always comes out the third of the month. It always comes out, it's always a third in a sequel, it's just the fact that there's three people. Like, that's the only surprise. Like, I didn't realize it in the moment, but, like, listening to it back, I was like, oh, like, that's the whole point.
I think he said something about that, too, in the Rocky episode. He was like, whoa, there sure are a lot of threes going on this time. I'm like, what show do you think you're on?
Well, I sure have been watching a lot of movies about kids in high school. Well, yeah, of course, like... Can you believe that we've watched 80 movies in a row with Nicolas Cage in them? Like, I can't believe it.
That's funny. But here are two guys in the movie we don't really get to... They don't really pair them up a lot.
I don't mind this pairing as much.
I'm wondering, though, where did they find Diesel? I forget. Was he in the joint, too? Because Cage knows Defoe from the joint. And I totally just glossed over Diesel.
They describe Diesel as like he's just a guy who does things or whatever.
And then there's Diesel. He's just a guy.
You know what I kind of wish? And it's sort of that way here. Is that they were like a team. Diesel never talks, and Defoe just talks too much.
Oh,
he sort of talks
that would be cool.
That would sort of be better. You know what I mean?
If he was a mute?
Not a mute... Not and definitely not mute by Duncan Jones.
No, please not.
Not a mute by force, but like a mute by choice. Like
they
didn't have anything to say. You know what I mean?
That'd be cool. I could see that. That'd be an interesting character.
I feel like that's a dynamic that you see in a lot of movies. I just feel like it would have worked better here when you have a guy who isn't necessarily the best actor or whatever, you know?
Because what bugs me is just, like, it's so close to being, like, a good, wacky, crazy movie thing. And I honestly, like, that dude, like, just... Oh, man, it just bothers me, the whole sort of situation.
And I genuinely don't know if he's that bad or just that you can't pair a third person with Cage and Defoe.
That's what it is.
Like, I don't know if anybody would have worked well there.
That's what's frustrating me, right? Is that, like, I just want Cage and Defoe no matter what, I think. So
or, like, throw, like, a William H. Macy in there or, like, a Tracy Morgan?
That would have been interesting. Oh, you know what would have been great? Oh, God, now that I say it, now I gotta remember his fucking name, though.
Where's he from?
Well, he was the old dude in The Nice Guys. He's the guy I love. He's the president in a lot of in that video game. He's in
Keith David.
Keith David would have been. I would love to see Keith David with these two, with Cage and Defoe. Like that would have been something.
That would have been good. See, that when I watched this movie the first time at Fantasticus, this was a midnight movie, and like it starts out and, like, you're like, oh, this is great, and then like you get here, and I'm just like struggling to keep awake. Yeah. It's like tiring. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know why this is here.
Even I'm yawning now watching this today.
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's so bright,
and I'm like exhausted from it. Well, this is probably the longest scene in the movie too. That doesn't help. That the longest scene in the movie is in the car.
And it's not like, for a movie that's like so carefully is the wrong word, but carefully lit so that everything is like visually specific. Yeah. For it to be like that, it's like, what?
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. Running a little low on resources here.
You mean like actually like money to shoot it?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Or like. Ideas to.
I thought you were thinking like, you know, like stamina for you watch this movie.
Well, that too.
We've only got like 15 minutes left in the movie.
That's hilarious.
Which feels crazy because nothing's happened. Where is the baby?
Where is the baby?
The baby's with that with the nanny in that house that they brought her to, but I don't know what.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Then what's this place? This where they're rendezvousing? Is this where they're meeting?
I guess. I don't remember this.
They do a lot of drugs in this movie. That's weird. It's like Defoe just did a bump or two.
What, off his lap just there?
Yeah.
Coast Guard. What coast are you guarding in Cleveland? The lakes?
Cleveland U.S. Coast Guard Station.
I guess it's the Great Lakes, because they're on a lake, but like...
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't
but what?
Have... I guess it doesn't have
Oh, this to... is where they're dumping the body. That's yeah. right, that's right, that's right, that's right.
Like, it's just... Yeah, because look, there's a lake. There's the lake. It's kind of a hole. Maybe if this guy had a mustache.
Diesel?
Yeah, if Diesel had the mustache.
Your problem with him is just he doesn't have a mustache?
No, that's. I'm not saying it's going to fix him, but it might make him more interesting. Suck ass.
What
by
if that
way.
Said pay the ghost?
That would have been insane. Although the pay the ghost does suck ass. No.
I guess it's also telling that there's the Cleveland Coast Guard that is like, it's like an abandoned building. Like, I guess that maybe that's the
good
joke.
Point. Yeah.
Like, oh, we don't really have to guard a coast because it's all internal anyway. I don't get it. But maybe that's the joke. Either way, we've been missing Cage for 20 minutes.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Defoe and Diesel aren't really carrying the rest of this for me. This room reminds me of the end of 8mm, where Gandolfini takes him to, like, that really disgusting house place.
Okay.
Where he films snuff movies and stuff.
Sure.
That was Gandolfini, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But then some other guy came to his house and fought him, right? Or those two different movies? What was the movie that, like, he lived next to a graveyard and he got into a big fight at the end? I thought that was also 8mm, but...
I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, I can't remember. Oh, well, I don't want to have to watch 8mm again anytime
We're going to.
I know, but...
You don't want to see The Machine?
That's a dark, dark one.
Max California?
Max California. Great name.
What's Cage's name in the 8mm?
I'd be banging. No.
I Be Banging from Bringing Out the Dead. We haven't done that yet for this, have we?
No, that's a good one.
8mm.
I've never seen... Okay. It's never taken longer to dump a dead body, and I've seen movies about dumping one dead body, and it's the whole movie, and this is longer.
Nicolas Cage plays Tom Wells.
Tom.
Peter Stormare also in that. Catherine Keener, Norman Reedus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Norman Reedus.
Do you know there's an 8mm, too? Did we talk about that? Terrible reviews on Letterboxd.
I saw it at Rite Aid. They had the double pack.
Oh, that's right.
I did not see it. I do not do a show called Sequels.
You do a show called Threequels.
No, it was almost called Threequels.
What's funny is that as we're listening to this, as we're recording this, Scott Aukerman, Paul F. Tompkins, and Laura Marcus have put out Threedom.
Uh-huh.
But I've listened to the first three episodes, and they still, as they're recording it, don't have a name for the show.
Yeah, I've
so
heard the
first. They've
recorded
the intro and like, drop it in, and you have like the music in between that like links up or whatever, but they're like, they spent an entire like 20 minutes of the first episode like trying to figure out what it was called. But it's just funny like how many episodes they've recorded.
Up Me Beam.
Oh, yes, Up Me Beam.
Something like that. Oh, I don't remember that happening.
I don't remember that either.
Good night, Defoe. It's time to go.
Did you hear all three episodes or just the first one?
Just the first one, because the rest are behind the Stitcher wall.
They're behind the paywall.
Although I'm sure they're up on YouTube somewhere. A lot of I'm not saying it's right, but a lot of the How Did This Get Made and a lot of the older... here we go. Hot dog ketchup. The dog is done.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hot dog, and he's done.
Cage is shirtless.
Oh, my God. And he's, like, in ecstasy. He's got the gray hair. A lot of, like, the How Did This Get Made and a lot of the Comedy Bang Bang stuff is on YouTube. Like, people post it.
Well, I know there's a lot of clips up there. I don't know about full episodes.
Yeah, there's full episodes, too. I'm not saying it's right, but from time to time, I've listened to one or two.
I get you. Well, I mean, you're not doing anything wrong by listening to it.
Yeah, I didn't put it up there.
And you're also not, like, it's not like you're torrenting something. You're just...
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not saving them, right?
I used to, like, when I would download every podcast episode and save it on my computer, and at the end, I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I don't need, like, hundreds of gigabytes of podcasts that, like, I didn't record.
Yeah.
Like, if I really want to find something, I can find it again.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Plus, I pay for Stitcher. Like, if one day, say, like, Earwolf goes away or whatever, like, everything, like, they just, like, get rid of the archives, like, there will be people out there who, like, sort of cobble together, like, the comedy archives. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Like, that's what the internet's about. Like, it's funny. Like, I feel like that's even a major plot point in the book Ready Player One, where it's, like, the whole idea of recreating stuff that is lost or gone or someone has archived it or it's been saved and it's just a matter of finding the person who saved it and getting in contact with them.
The Oasis.
But I feel like a lot of that is lost. Actually, it's all lost in the movie, but I don't want to get into that.
I read the book 3 years ago, so when I see the movie, maybe tonight.
I saw it a couple... I mean, I read it whenever... When did it come out? 01 or 02 or something, the book?
Is that long ago?
I think so. I read it in 2011, 2012. Is that when it came out?
I don't know.
Whatever. I don't know. But not a fan.
Oh, this is where the lady cop dies.
Okay. Oh, the lady cop in the opening DVD menu. Oh.
Taylor Swift.
He reads GQ. Oh, man. Too bad it wasn't like Zeph or something on the cover. Like,
he's been on the cover of GQ.
Supermarket music playing. This guy has like Liam Neeson. He has Mad Dog brains all over his jacket, and he's just kind of hanging out in the meat section.
Yeah.
This guy kind of looks like he could be Zachary Levi's brother. Whoop. Hey, conceal carry, mister. How do you know?
Maybe they're in a state where that's illegal. I don't know about
that. Fake news witch hunt.
What I do like is that's what the actual car looks like.
Apples is the name of the supermarket? Wait, why? You think that's probably like a real chain?
The guy's wearing Apples.
Yeah.
That, you know what that looks like? It looks like Robert Pattinson.
Oh my gosh, there he looks exactly like Robert Pattinson.
You've seen Good Time, right?
Oh, I loved it. I liked it a whole... I wish there was a little more with the other brother, but I liked it a lot.
I need to see Heaven Knows What, which is the Safdie Brothers' first movie.
And they're doing something already again. They have a whole other...
With Pattinson again, I think, okay. Right? And with something else. Or no, maybe not. No, it's somebody...
So the reason I really love that movie is because I couldn't tell if the one brother was actually a disabled actor, and then you find out, no, that's one of the directors.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit, that opening scene with him is amazing.
In the psychiatrist's office?
Yeah.
And at the end, too.
Oh, in the end, like, yeah, no,
that,
I mean...
Like, little rehab group or whatever?
Yeah, no, it just, his arc is so well done in that movie. And then Robert Pattinson is just a madman. That whole shit is crazy.
I saw that in theaters, and I was like, ugh. And I liked it, but I didn't... And then I watched it again at the end of the year when I was trying to re-rank things. I was like, what did I not see the first time? I was like, this is so good.
Like, the one, I mean, spoiler probably, but that reveal where he... takes the wrong guy from the hospital. Like, that's awesome. Because how could you? How would you know?
Chris Mattiello hates that movie.
He
doesn't think it's good. He didn't like it. He like thinks it's dumb. He's like, it's the
most
not like
dumb.
It's like the most like 7 year old. Like the way he described it. But you could do that about any movie. Like,
no, there's no way. There's definitely stuff going on in that movie.
I sort of had a fight. I'm like the way you could describe it, like, it's sort of like Spring Breakers, which I know he loves and I love. He's like, no.
I'm too old to fight about movies anymore. I just go, whatever. Just, you like it and I don't, or I like it and you don't. The last time I tried to argue anything was on that Reno episode, and it just exhausted myself. It's like, no point in even arguing anymore. If I don't like it, I'm just going to shut up about it. I like her cop bun. That her hair is in.
Is that, you think that's probably
I do not
regulation?
I do not know, but Cage's hair is doing something crazy in this scene.
She's reminding me of someone too. She's kind of maybe reminding me of Elle Fanning a little bit.
Really? I got like a little bit older, like a Christy Swanson kind of vibe from her. The original Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Like Eerie.
Oh, Cage in slow motion with a ring
Cage
on.
Grunts.
He's beating the shit out of this woman cop.
Elle Fanning. Speaking of Elle Fanning, it was her birthday last week.
Oh, okay.
She posted on Instagram. She turned 20.
Get the fuck out of here! Don't say that. Take
she
that
was,
back.
I think she was 16 when she filmed the Neon Demon or something. I was just like, oh my god.
I can't believe Cage punched her twice.
Like, why is it not more like Crank? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why do the last 40 minutes exist?
Look how slow he's running, though.
That's funny.
I know, it's hilarious. You're right. Like, I want it like that. When people get shot, they have to fly across the parking lot. Like,
the music kicks in, you know, like we're in like the slowest pursuit.
He kind of reminds me of the leprechaun in that moment, just kind of like gleefully trotting away after a minor victory. Uh-oh.
That was a straight-up Lord of War shot, right?
Yeah. Collateral damage. So you going to have a heart attack?
I don't know. We got Cage like talking on my ear in these back speakers, though, like voiceover.
Gotta be samurais, gotta be samurais. That's amazing. That's my new mantra.
Gotta be samurais.
If I ever do transcendental meditation, it's gotta be
Cage
samurais.
Cage just chanting gotta be samurais over and over and over again as Diesel thinks about it.
It's gotta be. It feels like it was looped and sampled for part of the soundtrack of that sequence.
Oh no, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, I gotta get that song now.
Gotta be samurais, gotta be samurais. Right.
Is the Dog Eat Dog soundtrack available on iTunes?
Ask RLJ Entertainment, I don't know. This movie, a great one for bingo.
Yeah.
I did not win. I still have not won.
Oh, Cage driving. I mean, I'm going to just keep going. Let's
yeah,
see.
Just check them all off.
That red sports car.
What else you got? Adaptation, no. Cage shaves, no. Singing, no. Last
Someone
one
makes
nicely.
A threat. That was when they stole the baby. I can't believe no one said dog eat dog in this. It's a dog eat dog world. Is this called Cage Dorothy?
Well, this is where he's... They turn around and he's Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, right.
this is just so weird. Like, this is cool, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like...
Hmm.
Oh, man. Oh, no, no. He's Humphrey Bogart when he gets into that, like, old black couple's car. Doesn't he, like, jack their car and, like, make them drive him around or something?
I hope so. I don't remember any of this. I can't... How does he get out of this?
I don't know, but we have, like, 3 minutes left in this movie.
No.
Is that real? Hold on. Oh, no, no. It's 93 minutes. I thought... The case says 83 minutes.
It does say 83 minutes.
This makes more sense. Okay. I was like, there's no way that we're going to have credits and all the things that I remember in the next 4 minutes.
Oh, maybe credits are 10 minutes. There are 10 minutes in Wolf of Wall Street. There are 10 minutes in Last Jedi. Like, there's all these...
Well, those are 2.5 and 3 hour movies.
I know. But, I mean, also, like... I think for Star Wars and stuff more, though, like, Ready Player One also has, like, a 10-minute credit sequence because it's, like, all CGI, you know, special effects and everything.
Yep.
Like, all the Marvel movies have, like, 10-minute credit closing right. credit sequences.
Well, because, like, all of Asia is employed in
yeah.
the CGI, so...
Well, not it's not even that. It's like they literally farm out pieces of the movie to every digital
yeah.
house in the world.
As opposed to just ILM for Star Wars.
Yeah, right. It's, yeah.
So here, this is something that's never happened before in a Cage movie. Cage is being dragged by his wrist behind a cop car.
But they weren't shooting at him while they were dragging him, right?
No, I don't think so.
Just fade to black?
So now I think this is maybe, you might be led to believe that he died there. Because now he's in heaven with the black couple. And this is where he is being Humphrey Bogart.
He's having this out-of-body experience at the diner.
Gotta be samurai. I kind of wish it had stayed black and white.
Me too, yeah.
But, I mean, this looks cool, but don't lead in with a cooler-looking black and white.
But did this actually happen? I can't remember if this actually happened. We'll have to find out.
I don't know if we ever know, really.
Oh, not Gwyneth Paltrow picking up the check. B-I-B-Y baby.
Oh, I was thinking the original B-A-B-Y baby. Oh, no, because look, that is real because... Or, like, you know, I mean, like, it's unclear because the news is on there, so I think it's supposed to say, like, hey, this is actually real. But we don't know how Cage got from the back of that cop car to where he is now,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Neither does Schrader. Schrader's like, I don't know how to get him out of this. He'll just be in the backseat of their car. That guy does have a rocking suit going with the hat.
Oh. Definitely. I'm turning the volume up so we can...
So we can hear the Humphrey?
Yeah.
Oh my... I get it, though. He wants to disguise his voice.
Oh, well, the back of his jacket is all ripped up, so this actually did happen, I guess. Or it's like a pipe dream? I don't know.
And I still say I'm not sure if he's doing Bogart or Robinson.
You know, I do think that there's large chunks of this movie that are almost borderline unwatchable. But I do think that this is worth watching for the things that we've highlighted throughout. And also, this whole end is just so weird.
Yeah, it's like, worth seeing.
I think I was saying to you when we recorded the actual episode for this was that when I watched this at Fantastic Fest, I was like, this is, you know, 1:30 in the morning, and I was trying to stay awake. And then I wake up, like, I fall asleep, and I wake up, and, like, all of a sudden, Cage just Bogart. I'm like, what did I miss? Because that's a weird thing about falling asleep, like, in the movie theater. It's like, you don't know if you missed 2 minutes or 10 minutes mm-hmm. or half an hour.
Yeah, even when I'm at home at night and it's really late and I start dozing off at movies, like, I'm always amazed. It's like, did I just doze off for, like, a minute or a half hour? And, like, I'm always amazed to see how far back I have to rewind.
Charles and Charlene. And this is another sort of Sin City-ish. You know
oh,
what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Very much so. Well, it's just very noir, like hardcore, straight up, untapped noir stuff. Which this would have been fine if they just did it like that, but he's... Paul Schrader's mind is like he can't stay on one thing too long, you know? He's like, he doesn't have the I feel like he doesn't have the attention span or something.
Which is fine, but, like, do that the whole time. Like, don't try to, like, weigh us down with, like, Diesel having revelations about how he's too tough of a guy to have an actual relationship or whatever.
I can't believe it, but that's, like, exactly what that was about.
It's unbelievable.
He's still doing Bogart.
Like, this is like a 5-minute scene where he's Bogart for the entire time. It's great. I wonder what Cage's plan is in all of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At this point, I'm not sure if he's a man with a plan or if he's just kind of improvising it. It just needs to get to safety.
Yeah. Humphrey, see? Humphrey, that's my name. It's just such a weird, like... It also bothers me that this is at the end. Like, I wish that this was sort of the setup to something. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It feels like the movie is daring you to end. Like, it's like, you think we're going to end? Oh, you just... We're not ending yet. I dare you to end this movie here.
I do like the recent Cage... Now we're definitely in heaven. But I do like the Cage recent trend of, like, This is for you... three-word movies with three letters in each word. Dog eat dog, mom and dad.
Wait, dog eat dog's only two words.
Dog eat dog, three words.
But two of those words are dog.
But it's still three words.
Okay.
That's like three different words.
I thought you meant three different words.
No. Then mom and dad. Church music playing.
Like, this is all a vision of some kind.
Is it? Unclear. Charlene wakes up. It would be super cool if this was an Elvis gospel, except they probably couldn't afford the Elvis song.
Did she get blown away? That's a nice... That's almost like a Neon Demon shot right there. Color-wise,
yeah, but composition-wise, no. Like, this is too messy for Refn. How great thou art. He's not really doing Humphrey Bogart. That was the title, that was the thing I grabbed for my cover photo when we did this movie. That little turnaround shot.
Cage shootout.
But they're all shooting the car? Like, I don't
know what's going on. They're shooting the couple in the back?
I know we've been really quiet here this last, like, 10 minutes, but, like, it's the weirdest ending to a movie. Like, if we did the Cage Club Awards now, like, this would definitely be in, like, the Birdie category of, like...
Oh, yeah. Well, this was after the awards.
I know, that's
so.
What I'm saying. Yeah, like, if we...
I did not remember that at all from the one time I saw this movie.
Now where are we?
They're dragging him into the cop car. Those are the cops after they've dragged his body, and now he's in the back seat. So that was probably all while he was being dragged.
Now we get some... Oh, he's not seeking justice?
Could have fooled me. Oh my god, the end. Abrupt.
It's so weird.
Oh, man. That took more out of me than I was expecting.
Well, that was Cage Club Revisited for Dog Eat Dog. The next movie we're doing is probably going to be Season of the Witch. It may not be.
Well, it could be. It might not be now, but it might be when we get around to doing another movie. Oh, no, right, because we might have something special coming up. I forgot. Yeah. We could say that much.
Well, we sort of teased that before a little bit.
We haven't even gotten to the scrolling credits yet.
God.
Weird.
Top build.
Nicolas Cage.
Willem Dafoe, Christopher Mark, whatever, Christopher Matthew Cook.
Oh, is he Rachel Lee Cook's brother?
Probably not, but possible.
Where's Rachel Lee Cook been, also?
Melissa Bologna?
Bologna. Dog eat dog.
That was a weird, like, it's hard to, like, where do you program that in one of these Cage Club Revisited things? Like, I guess you gotta put it last. But if you put it last, like, it's real, like, woof.
No, you gotta stick that in there somewhere and just
power through it?
Yeah, just get it done.
I do want to say, though, this took a lot out of you, but this was your idea to watch this
movie. I know, no, yeah, nope, uh-huh. I know. It's just one of those, like, now I regret it. 300 pounds? There was a guy named 300 pounds?
Sure.
That's awesome. I mean, there was a Mr. Moon or whatever.
Moon Man Double.
Blood Splat Mom.
Who is Blood Splat Mom? I guess who wasn't Blood Splat, really?
Weird, 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 weird. You're a samurai. You're a samurai.
Robert Kurtzman's Creature Corps.
Oh, from, is that from K&B Effects? It's like, I thought it was like Kurtzman, Nicotero, and someone else. They're like the, they do all the effects for like The Walking Dead, but they did like tons of horror stuff in the 80s and 90s and everything. K&B Effects.
I know you won 27 minutes in. How many do you have in total, cross off, not including the middle one?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 16? Wow, that was a big one.
I had 16 also. Wow. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's two in a row where we tied number of boxes, but you actually won this one, so that's a big win for you.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't won in a while.
It's kind of hard to win. The poll quote on the box art for Dog Eat Dog, it's a cool cover, like this Dog Eat Dog, is like, look, Diesel's not even on there. It's just Cage, yeah. UFO, and then like cop cars crashing. Quote, nasty, tasty crime thriller built on black comic chaos. So, sure.
All
got
right.
Cage on the spine, Defoe on the spine, Cage on the spine, Defoe. Like, you've Cage and Defoe's faces on here four times. Diesel, nowhere to be found.
Name's not even on the box, right?
There's a Beyond Fest Q&A with Nicolas Cage and Paul Schrader on this. Director audio commentary.
Oh, gosh. If there's any reason
Nicolas
not
Cage video introduction.
Oh, let's watch that after.
Wait, you want to have, okay, yeah. All right, so here. Go buy the Dog Eat Dog Blu-ray. Because it looks great.
There's a lot of songs in this. I don't remember any of this music. I remember there being, like, well, no music.
I think they're probably all in the background of strip clubs.
Previz? What needed to be prevized? That you couldn't storyboard, like, on a piece of paper.
Couldn't tell you. CageClub.me, Facebook.com/CageClub, at CageClubPod on Twitter. Email us, mailbag@CageClub.me. Send us your address. We'll send you a couple stickers. Let us know if you listen, how you listen, whatever. Filmed in the Cleveland, Ohio area.
Oof, wow.
Come back next time for Season of the Witch or another movie. Who knows?
Thank you.
We will see you soon. Produced by Blue Budgie Films in association with Ingenious Media.
Nothing at the end of this one, huh?
Probably not, which is probably for the best. Bye!